In the studio, I have the privilege of Evie Flynn, and she's a nutritionist, so she's just going to introduce herself and tell you a little bit about herself.
Well, it's thank you, Shane, for having me. I'm a nutritional coach. My background is that I'm a psychotherapist, and I'm particularly interested in the link between mood and food, mm-hmm. and how what we eat has an effect on how we feel. And so that's sort of how I got involved in nutrition. And I guess working with clients, it became really obvious after a couple of weeks, the change, like really tangible changes in them. So not just their complexion, but their mood, their outlook on life, and their energy levels. So it's something I'm really passionate about. And my approach is all about a lifestyle change and looking at some of the issues that get in the way of us living our best life. Often it can be about putting ourselves last and putting everything and everybody else first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the chances are we get stressed. We haven't given much time to ourselves. So what do we do when we're stressed? For most of us, it's comfort eating.
Yeah.
And if we think about comfort foods we go for, they're usually high sugar, high salt, high fat foods. And the thing is that we don't realize what a knock-on effect these have on our system. And not just in terms of cholesterol and blood pressure and all these other things, but for our mood, because when we eat these foods, they're highly inflammatory. And what happens is that our cells become inflamed, and then our immune system is compromised. So that starts, our immune system has to release all of these chemicals, proteins, to try and save our cells, literally, because they're so inflamed. And then what happens is that there's a knock-on effect. So, and the knock-on effect is that the neurotransmitters in our brain are knocked out. So they're out of balance. So that means that the little messengers that send information from one part of our brain to the other, that whole communication network gets skewed, and then how we interpret information from the outside world gets skewed as well. So anxiety, nervous system will take a hit purely from eating processed foods.
Whoa.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's mad. Like, yeah,
it's crazy.
I stopped eating processed food years ago, and like, but I suppose it was, for me, it was just digestion and stuff like that, that I, you know, listening to my body really more than anything else, like, which is what we're supposed to be doing, you know.
Yeah.
But I never really thought about what a massive impact it has on, you know, on our psychological self, really, more than anything else. Like, and I suppose we all need food. We can't live without food. Like, I mean, we need food. Like, and I suppose regulating our food, because even in myself, I notice if I get tired and then I have food.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what somebody was saying to me there before, like, that what's interesting with my body is that when I eat, I get an instant hit. You know, where most people, it could take a half an hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But when I eat, I actually, my mood just lifts. Now, whether that's something from my childhood or psychological, because most people would eat and then they wouldn't actually feel any impact for, you know, 15, 20 minutes afterwards.
So there's something about taking in nourishment
for me.
Food.
Yeah.
Where the message is connecting for you, okay, I'm good now because
I'm
having something nourishing.
So I get an instant
That's
energy hit.
Yeah,
like, you know,
and you're taking in something nourishing. And for a lot of us, what happens is that when we do that, you know, when we are stressed and tired and we reach for something, what happens is we will get an instant high, and that's the sugar high, or maybe we're stressed and we don't want to feel, so it's a numbing out, and it might take a bit longer for that numbing out, usually from carbohydrates, to take effect, but usually it's followed by a crash. And so what happens then is that, so we take in the sugar, and this internal ambulance that we have in our system, it's called insulin, that gets activated, and it goes and it collects up all the sugar in our system, and literally just brings it to a fat store and dumps it there in our liver, so that those calories are empty. And what it's doing is it's causing our system a lot of stress to deal with it, but they're empty calories, they don't give us any energy. So it explains the kind of sugar high and the crash,
yeah,
and not getting enough from all of that hassle of eating them.
So that'll be eating processed foods or eating chocolate or things like that.
Empty calories. And I guess so. And then what you're saying there about regulating our eating patterns, it's about getting enough nutrition in from the beginning of the day onwards, and then sleep is hugely important, and going to bed and not going to bed hungry will also ensure that we get a good night's sleep. So I'm a huge believer in sleep and then eating within 30 minutes of waking up for our nervous system, because again, when we go to sleep at night, we use up a lot of energy to regulate our body temperature, to keep our organs going, to repair ourselves, and then emotionally, you know, our mind. So repairing all of those different parts of our body and our mind. So when we wake up, our blood sugar levels are quite low because we've used up all of that glucose energy during the night. So our nervous system doesn't have any stores of glucose. So it's completely reliant on our blood sugar for that source of energy. So breakfast within 30 minutes of waking up is hugely important. And then that breakfast is nourishing. So it's got the right energy.
So not toast and a cup of tea.
No, we're always looking at what is in the toast. So if you think about like a slice of white toast, for example, or even like a slice pan, any kind of toast that's in a, comes in, you know, in a sliced pan, it's usually made from highly refined flour. If you think about it, there's very little nutrition left in that flour. So anything that looks like it's made in a lab or in a factory, usually there's very little left in terms of nutrition. So I'm a huge believer in, you know, oats or anything that has a whole grain in it with breakfast. So porridge, for example, is hugely medicinal. It's a medicinal food. It's known as an anti-anxiety food because it takes so long for our system to break down. It's a relaxing food and it's natural.
It's warming.
It's warming. Exactly. So porridge, any kind of seeds mixed with that, I'm a huge advocate of. And also bringing a bit of protein into the equation as well. Like an egg a day is one of the best things we could possibly do. It goes against what we've been told by the food companies that eggs are full of cholesterol. It's good cholesterol. Eggs are full of goodness, full of protein. They're natural. So anything that comes from nature.
Well, I have an avocado every day as well, like, you know. So
very natural, healthy fat.
You know, I remember reading an article about what we should be eating is what comes from, say, Ireland, you know, rather than like an avocado, which comes from another country, because we're naturally, you know, we're naturally used to eating the foods that
are
from our country.
So our body understands foods that come from here. So we have an affinity to porridge, to potatoes, root vegetables, locally made culture, like yogurt that's locally produced, local honey, as opposed to honey that we buy on supermarket shelves, which is usually just sugar and it's pasteurized. Anything that's local, fish.
Well, I get my fresh fish every Friday morning down in Dolphin Square.
Very good. So fresh fish from the sea, wild fish. Meat in Ireland, you know, we have grass-fed cattle. And like, it's a very different product to what we might find in America. You know, we have very, very strict rules about our how we produce food in Ireland. We are very lucky, actually. We live in a very generous country when it comes to food. We can afford to buy food at the moment in Ireland, not like America, where it's not possible in some states to actually buy fresh fruit, vegetables, meat. It's real.
And is that down to the regulations over there, or is it just such a big country?
I am not sure. But they don't make sure that food is affordable. So maybe it's got to do with subsidies, food subsidies. Maybe the EU looks after us a bit better here with that.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about diet drinks and diet this, you know. I mean, we're all being pushed, you know, told to drink Coke Zero instead of normal Coca-Cola. But I'm reading a lot of articles and stuff around the fact that it's actually worse to go with the zeros and the diets and stuff like that than the normal ones.
Yeah, any of these artificial sweeteners are just not good for us. So, like, ideally, Any sort of soda to try and eliminate that from our diet completely.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, there is a big push in this country, definitely over the last couple of years, around going into the more diet aspects and the zero ones. But now there's stuff coming out at the moment that they're actually worse for us than the actual other one, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's, and there's sort of, with diet drinks, if you think about the psychological message that we're getting with them, you know, it's sort of like, because they're diet, they're not damaging to health. Yeah.
So people would drink more
and keep drinking. Oh, absolutely. Almost like have a Diet Coke and a protein bar for a meal. And I get that a bit in my practice. People going for protein bars and a drink, thinking that, that's equal to a meal, and it isn't. It isn't. Like anything that comes in a packet, it can be seen as a smart food and may be preferable to a chocolate bar that offers nothing. But, you know, really nutrition needs to come from nature, proper nutrition. And the others are, you know, in case we don't have access to them, emergencies, you know.
So what, instead of a protein bar, an apple, you know?
Yeah, an apple, or, you know, it could be a yogurt, a couple of oat cakes with some hummus and nut butter, on some rice cakes, fruit, making sure, you know, the night before, you know, planning snacks. You know, there is some wonderful protein balls, like that are made from, you know, nut butters, oats, you know, sweetened naturally, you know, with honey or, you know, maple syrup. So I always recommend that we go 85%, if we can, natural food, and 15% smart snacks.
Okay.
So trying to keep sugar out of the system if possible. Planning the day. So, for example, if it's going to be a busy day the next day, planning snacks. If it's going to be a rush for breakfast, have the first part of breakfast at home, maybe boil a couple of eggs and take them, you know, have them ready for the second part of breakfast on the road or whatever. Planning snacks, planning lunch, that kind of thing. So pretty much knowing the night before what you're going to have the next day, so there is no opportunity for guessing or for chancing something. And then the other thing is, you know, learning to say no, I suppose, to other people. So putting self first, taking care, you know, it's very, we find it very easy to say yes to other people, to work, to everything else, and we put ourselves on the back foot. And the thing is that we just have one life, and we may as well live our best life, and our health is a huge contributor to that. So planning is habit stacking. So if I go to bed a bit earlier, so how, what time do I need to go to bed at in order to get 8 hours sleep? Planning that, switching off from devices, cleaning up our, you know, our room where we sleep, so we don't have any electronics charging in particular, or in the room, get an alarm clock, have breakfast set up if it means setting up the table the night before, have our supplements, if we want to take supplements, have them all ready, have our porridge soaking, know what we're having for breakfast, and knowing what we're going to have for lunch, or what's on our shopping list. So we're taking all of the distractions out of it. So it becomes very straightforward. And then when we plan, it means that we're saving time. We're also saving a lot of money. So we're not going mindlessly buying things
into a garage and getting a chicken roll or something
lethal
like that.
Petrol stations are lethal. If we're hungry in a petrol station or dehydrated, the chances are we're going to just mindlessly snack and buy things.
And that's another thing. Don't shop when you're hungry.
And even the cost of it, if you think of it, you know, how much does it cost these days to go in and pick up a packet of crisps, a bar of chocolate and a drink?
I wouldn't know.
You know, you wouldn't have a whole lot of change out of, definitely out of a fiver anyway. We're probably going a bit more than that. And then think about how you feel. So mood and food. So always consider, if I go for this, how am I going to feel afterwards? Is it really worth it to me? And I imagine anybody who's contemplating a lifestyle change at the moment, you know, think about one small change you can make to your day. So I'm a big believer in sleep, in hydration, and breakfast. So if you could, you know, think about those three simple things. Make sure you have a really good, nutritious, wholesome breakfast. The first part of it, definitely within 30 minutes of waking up. And plan your day. So it doesn't have to be difficult. My clients report to me that they don't have cravings anymore. Mm-hmm. They feel really good and they never want to go back to how they used to live before. And plenty of nutrition throughout the day. And I might have said this, 3 meals and 3 snacks if you can. Mm-hmm. Never go to bed hungry. Never think you should have to. Mm-hmm. And again, Shane, you were mentioning like healthy snacks. So natural yogurt, keep an eye to sugar content in yogurt. Mm-hmm. So we're always looking for natural. So anything that's low fat, and you were talking about diet drinks, the same goes for flavored yogurts. Mm-hmm. So low fat flavored yogurt is usually going to have a high sugar content. So we're always going for natural, either are full fat yogurt because the sugar content is going to be much lower. Mm. So where fat is taken out, something else is being put in.
So an awful lot of things that we would be told, especially from watching television and stuff like that, you know, it's because that's very commercialized and it's from it.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily right.
No, it's definitely not. So anytime something looks like it's highly processed and made in a lab, mm-hmm. like previously we're always told that we need to spread, you know, these margarines or whatever, use those spreads as opposed to butter. Mm-hmm. And you know, the reason for that was food companies wanted to produce something that they could charge us for that would have a much larger shelf life, mm-hmm. but also have all these, you know, benefits, health benefits. But when we strip it all back now and look at butter, it's completely natural. Mm-hmm. It's actually a healthy fat. And then if we compare that to a spread we find in the supermarket, I mean, what is actually left of that is natural? Mm. And anything that isn't natural just can't be good for us. Our body doesn't understand it.
So just going back to what we would have been taught when we were younger and stuff like that, like, I mean, it's the same as, like, you mentioned butter. Like, I remember I was using soya butter at one stage and someone pointed out to me, well, soya butter is processed. Would you not be better with real butter?
Yeah.
You know, and I just changed back to real butter and I haven't looked back, like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I suppose it's common sense. It's kind of even, you know, looking at the ingredients that are in some of these products. Like, you know, actually, if you look at some of the spreadable butters and you look at the ingredients in it, you know, it should only just say butter.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. So that's it. So anytime there's a big, long list of ingredients. Mm. Now, there are some smart foods out there. And at the moment, you know, there are protein puddings that have a high protein content. And, you know, they can be smart snacks. I mean, they're processed. But for people that are on the go, you know, they can help. They can be helpful. And there's a bit more. They're offering something in the line. But just getting back to what you were saying there earlier about butter. And, you know, I touched on these spreads and cholesterol, high blood pressure, all of these different factors. And when we strip all of that back too, what we're left with is a system that's stressed. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge part of it as well, of, you know, healthy lifestyle is trying to eliminate stress from our lives. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we're stressed, we're releasing cortisol into our system all the time, the stress hormone. And the busier we are, the more we're kind of keeping that going. So in order sometimes to adapt a healthier lifestyle, it does require self-care. Mm-hmm. So taking time for ourselves, if it means, even if it just means 20 minutes, putting on a pair of runners, and all we're being asked to do is just put them on and step outside for a while. Just take that time for ourselves. Slow everything down. And because it's very easy to race through life. And, you know, and when we're living in the fast lane, everything is fast. Mm-hmm. It has to happen now. But if you think about it, like, is there any time in that to actually just rest, stop off and get a bit of perspective? Mm. So stress is a huge contributor to high blood pressure, to cholesterol, to heart disease, all these different things. So this is a piece of the work as well, part of the change is slow it down, sleep, hydration, giving ourselves time. So when we're sleep deprived, it has a huge knock-on effect. It's stressful to our system.
Yeah, and people binge and eat things that they shouldn't do to get
that
energy.
Just keep going.
Yeah,
coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's another thing. Maybe restricting coffee intake afternoon. Mm-hmm. That's really going
to
support.
I don't drink coffee
sleep
after 11 o'clock in the morning. I'd have my one cup and that's it. Like,
that's,
you know?
It. Yeah.
Because I used to notice when I used to drink coffee later in the evening, like, it would affect my sleep, like, because it takes 5 or 6 hours for the coffee to work out of your system, like.
Yeah. So herbal tea is a very nice, relaxing thing to have at nighttime. Nice dark chocolate, like even a square of dark chocolate. I'm talking 85% dark. Yeah, very relaxing. Yeah. And enjoying something like that is very satisfying, and we get what we need from it.
So people don't have to give up all the, you know, the
easy. Oh, absolutely not.
I only do dark chocolate now. I don't do milk chocolate at all now. Like, you know.
Yeah, and it's.
And if you had said to me a year ago, Shane, you'd eat dark chocolate, I would have said, not a hope.
Not a hope.
You know, but you get used to it, you know.
It's amazing how we get used to how our palate changes, and we kind of get used to the finer things in life. And
well, I mean, us as human beings weren't meant to eat milk chocolate, crisps, you know, as I was saying to you, like going back to 100 years ago in Ireland and things like that, we wouldn't have had access to any of this stuff, and our bodies would never have got used to it.
Yeah.
You know, we would have been eating nuts and grains, and we would have been eating from the land.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, we've programmed our bodies to get used to the other one, so it's just as easy to unprogram
absolutely
your body, like, you
absolutely
know?
Yeah, and our body actually doesn't cope too well with the other ones, so we're putting a lot of pressure on our body, you know, with all of this inflammation. It's just not good for us. And that's another thing, you know, with sugar, with inflammatory foods, like it affects our appearance. And you know, if we look at this modern day of, you know, cosmetics and all the money that we spend on trying to look well, if we actually focus on our diet, we really don't need to do any of that. We don't need to spend that kind of money on, you know, cosmetic enhancements or creams or any of that. It's if we put it into our nutrition, it'll take care of itself.
So you don't need anti-aging creams or anything like that?
Well, that's my belief.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. Like, I mean, you know, working from within.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, it's what we talk about in psychotherapy, you know, and nutrition. It's just combining them all together, really, more than anything else, you know?
Yeah. So it's this holistic approach to a healthier lifestyle. And sometimes we need a little bit of support along the way. And I guess that's how I work. So I offer, you know, and to update to this healthy lifestyle, and it's over 8 weeks, and usually after 2 weeks, the cravings are gone, and then and clients are satisfied. I believe in plentiful nutrition, and that's a big thing for me, that there's never a sense of deprivation. So it's all about plentiful nutrition, and then by the time we get to the 8 weeks, we have literally updated the program, and then after that, we work on a check-in basis. If clients would like to check in, they can.
So if people want to find you, where do they find you?
Oh, yeah. Well, they'd find me. My website is evflynn.com, nutrition. If they want to Google me, Evie Flynn, I'm sure they'll find the website there. And, yeah, and my practice is here in Yall, up on Upper Strand. But I also work online with clients all over Ireland, and really, really enjoy the work.
Well done. Well done. Plenty of information there. And the show will be recorded and will be up, because I'm sure there will be people that want to listen back to that, because it's a huge amount of information you share there in 10, 15 minutes. Like,
yeah,
you
well,
know,
thanks
so
for engaging.
And, you know, I mean, I suppose the world of nutrition and the world of psychotherapy, you know, it's becoming more and more prevalent, and it's becoming more and more obvious, like, that they work hand in hand together. Like,
yeah,
you know, so
profound.
So your practice, where you combine psychotherapy and nutrition, like, is definitely the way to go going forward, like, you know.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more profound, that whole link between the gut and the brain.
So I mean, look, onwards and upwards, and thanks very much for coming in.